is indeed a privilege. More so than I truly can express to be here. I was thinking a moment ago, years ago, I asked Brother Paul and Mindy, and you know, you always want to look in case something providentially would happen. You ask someone to take care of your children, and so I asked Paul and Mindy if anything ever happened to me, my family, or would they take care of my kids? Graciously, he said that he would. And, of course, I, at the time, was thinking about kids, you know, little bitty, you know, of course, they're always kids. I was just looking at this kid that was standing here in front of me that I kind of look up a little bit to. But what a joy it is to realize that now, truly, all four of my children sitting here, you know, and I couldn't think of a place that I'd rather them be. I appreciate your pastor, his family, and this is, I tell you, Central Baptist Church is very, very special to me. Can you imagine? You know, you think about that. All your kids are here. You'd think the same thing. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 8. I would like to look at the first five verses of Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus 8:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. Today we come to a portion of Scripture that sets forth truly Aaron as the high priest and his sons, but more so, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. Everything that was revealed set forth the glory of Him who is the great high priest. If we ever, by God's revelation through His Holy Spirit, see, by faith, see Him who is the high priest, our heart is lost in the wonder of the grace of Almighty God who preserves His people. Nothing was left to man's invention or his imagination Therefore, every word must be looked at and considered with a heart that's been made thankful, prayerful. As Brother Paul just said a moment ago, I desire, I want God to speak to me. I'm just coming together here and having a group of folks get together that's just, you know, familiar to me is not all that I need. I appreciate the fellowship that I have with you, but I tell you, I need God to speak to me. I want to hear something. I want to hear from Him who is altogether lovely. More so than this little fickle mind can figure out. I was thinking this morning during the Bible study, speaking of Moses' apprehension, and I'm thinking to myself while I stand here, who is sufficient for these things? Stand up and to want to say something. I want to be honorable in what I say. But that first verse begins with the foundation of our assurance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now, boy, we could stop right there and find some some comfort. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Marvelous grace of Almighty God. God is not silent. Not silent to His people. David said in Psalm 28:1, unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not Thou silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, if You don't speak, if You're silent to me, I'm going to be just like every man by nature. If You don't speak to me, if You don't speak to me through Your Word, this is, here's we have the Word of Almighty God. This is God's Word. How respectful we ought to be to what we read, what we hear, what we consider. This is God's Word. Lord said, He said, my sheep hear my voice. I got to thinking about that one day. My sheep hear my voice. How is it that you know when you hear the voice of God? How do you know? There's a lot of folks, a lot of men, and I hate to say it, but there's a lot of women standing up in pulpits. I know they're going through the motions. This, you know, saying, you know, thus saith the Lord. I know they say that. How do the sheep know? My sheep hear my voice. How do they know? When it's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the voice of the shepherd. I tell you this, the voice of the shepherd is consistent with His Word, His written Word. And if it's not according to these Scriptures, if He speak not according to this Word, it's not God's voice. It's not the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And the believers hear. Your pastor stands up. He speaks according to these Scriptures right here. The Spirit of God blesses these Scriptures. Blesses it to your heart. It's His voice. Hear Him. And they follow. Gives them a heart. Follow after Him. The Lord spake unto Moses, and He said, take Aaron and his sons with him in the garments and the anointing oil and a bullock for the sin offering and two rams and a basket of unleavened bread. Take them. Here we behold again a display of Almighty God and His grace to His people. Now Aaron was set apart to be the high priest. Take Aaron and his sons. The Lord has chosen. He chose a priest. Aaron didn't take that office to himself. Turn with me to Psalm 65:4. Psalm 65, verse 4. I know what men say, and you do too, concerning how they talk about man's got a free will and he's got a free choice and it's left up to you. Let me tell you who God said is blessed. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Here's a blessed man. Here's a blessed woman. One that God has chosen to cause to approach unto him. Those who are admitted into fellowship with Almighty God are admitted by God's sovereign choice, his grace, his purpose, his word. Divine election. Oh, how that exalts the glory of Almighty God. It's God Almighty that chose you. The Lord told, while he walked, told a group, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Man says, I decided. God said, I chose. I call. I give life. Salvation is of the Lord. Take Aaron. Take him. Fetch him. Get him. Take Aaron and his sons. I think about when I say, every time I say the word fetch, I can't help but think of Mephibosheth. Is there any of the house of Saul that I might show mercy to? For Jonathan's sake. Oh, what a picture. Is there any that I can show mercy to for Christ's sake? Yeah, well, there's Mephibosheth, little boy, lame on both his feet. Picture me and you by nature. Where is he? He's in Lodibar, out to pasture. Fetch him. Go get him. Bring him to me. Take Aaron and his sons. Exodus 28:1 says, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Here we see Almighty God has provided a chosen high priest. But secondly, in that second verse, consider Moses, who was a type, a picture of the law. It says that in Ephesians, you think about what was said. Leviticus 8:2 says, take Aaron and his sons, take him with him in the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock, the sin offering. Two rams, a basket of unleavened bread. Here's a picture of Moses, the law. Aaron is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Moses here as a type of the law. Turn with me to Ephesians 3:19. Ephesians 3:19. I said Ephesians and meant Galatians. I'm sorry. Galatians 3:19. Moses was to take Aaron, his sons. Moses being a picture of the law. Wherefore, Galatians 3:19, then serveth the law. it was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. The law was given to reveal the Messiah, the Redeemer, in types and pictures until he came. Now, we have been going through the book of Leviticus there at Katy, and all of these offerings, this sin offering and meat offering and trespass offering. It appears as though when you first read those offerings, you think those are saying the same thing over and over, and they're not. Obviously, they're not. They're setting forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our burnt offering, the one who absolutely pleased God Almighty in His death. God was satisfied with His death. And we look at the meat offering. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's perfect, willing, living Redeemer. We see Him who is our peace offering, reconciled us back to God in all of these offerings that we've looked at, sin and trespass. And I think how all of these pictures and types and how we consider Him and look at Him and in this light and this glorious picture of Him. And then I think about the Lord Jesus Christ when He had with one offering completely, absolutely, forever put away the guilt of His people in that one encompassing sacrifice. Then I look and I see how these beautiful pictures and types of Him and how the law, what it was doing, showing, picturing, setting forth. Moses took Aaron, brought him. Aaron and his sons and bring them. And back in Galatians verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. We need a mediator. I need one to answer. A mediator reveals that two parties are at odds. God is the offended party. God's offended. Gave this law which revealed the offense. We have offended Him. God has been offended. We are the offender. We are alienated because of our transgressions. And the mediator, the law, is going to show us the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the law, verse 21, then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been given by the law. The law is not opposed to the promise of life in Christ. But it can't give life. The law cannot give life. It reveals what we are. We're sinners. Verse 22, it says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Now listen to this. Law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law, what was it doing? Gonna bring us as our schoolmaster unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back in Leviticus, the Lord spoke to Moses. Picture the law says, take Aaron and his sons with him, his garments. And then the Scripture says in the third verse, gather all the congregation together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, there was going to be a gathering here. I want you to take Aaron, take his sons, bring them together, this tabernacle. This tabernacle, there was an outer court. You know that. It had a wall around it. On this outside wall, there was a curtain, the door. And right inside that door was the brazen altar. There was going to be no approaching God without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. A sinner needs a sacrifice. I need one to put away my guilt. I need one to pay a debt that I can't pay. But let me tell you what, believer, you also need, that the Lord graciously has given, provided. You need a priest. You need a high priest. A believer needs a priest, that is, one to approach God. One who speaks to God on his behalf. One who introduces and represents his people in a settled relationship with God. You don't approach God on your merit. You don't approach God of yourself. Now, I know what man says. He thinks that he can, and he can't. You cannot. As to our sin and our guilt, Christ brought us nigh to God Almighty by the blood of his cross. He put away the guilt of his elect. Put away our sins. And the scripture says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. But while we are on this earth, we are poor, feeble creatures, exposed to manifold temptations because of the weakness of our flesh. Here we are. We could not stand for a moment if he were not living for us now, ever living to make intercession for us. John 14:9 says, because I live, ye shall live also. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Right now, to those that believe, believers, sheep, God's people, his church, his bride, we have the assurance of knowing he has put away our guilt. Put it away. Put away our sin. Bore our guilt, our sin. He was made to be sin. Imputed. That's an amazing word. Amazing. I looked up that word. Imputed. Charged to. And here's the way that we can say it. It was charged. He was made to be sin. How was he made to be sin? How? I thought about that, Brother Paul. How? How was he made? I read that and I hear that and I look at that. He was made to be sin. How is that? God Almighty charged him legally, charged him with it, imputed, charged him with my guilt. It would be to say, if Almighty God, just in our little minds, were to say, here is the record. Looked at that record of Marvin Stoniker concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
and saw my guilt and my sin as my record and said, that's His. That's His. Legally made Him to be sin. Legally. Made to be sin. He who knew no sin, personally innocent, charged Him with it, imputed it to Him. And then, in terms that are higher than I can grasp, in understanding that's deeper and higher and more glorious than I can comprehend, imputed to me the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be? One way. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Was He innocent? Yes, He was. Am I guilty? Yes, I am. How then could God be just and justify this stinking sinner? He charged what I am to Him, and who He is to me, and made me, by an act of imputation, be made legally the righteousness of God in Him. Someone says, I can't explain that. I can't explain it either. But I can tell you this, you that believe, that's your only hope. Gather thou all the congregation together, back in Leviticus 8:3. Gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle. Here we behold again, oh, the display of God's amazing grace. The Lord told Moses, I want you to take Aaron and his sons and gather them. It's going to be a display, a marvelous display. You're going to see, you're going to look at all your congregation. You're going to see, you're going to look upon Aaron and his sons. You're going to see, you're going to actually look and behold who I have provided. You're going to see that. Moses, take Aaron and bring them. And God allowed the people of the congregation to behold it. The high priest, back in that passage that Brother Paul read in Revelation 7, we behold the fulfillment of what Leviticus 8 is setting forth in type. I want you to take Aaron and his sons, you bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, and I want everyone to behold. I want everyone to look upon the gathering together of the congregation. And back in Revelation 7, just looking at a few verses that he read a few moments ago, behold how this scripture in Leviticus 8 speaks of a true gathering of all of God's people. Three things that I behold in the gathering of God's people. Take Aaron, picture the high priest, and his sons. They were his sons by natural birth. We're the sons of God by grace. Chosen. Adopted into His family. Aaron and his sons. The Lord Jesus Christ and His bride, a chosen bride, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. God predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. But all this great gathering, things that are happening right now, this Scripture speaks of. In the first three verses of Revelation 7, it speaks and sets forth that God preserves the world in order that His elect might be saved. He said, John said, I saw these things, verse 1, four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, nor on any tree. People are going to be saved. I don't know who God's elect are. I don't know. But who knows? Peradventure, Almighty God has got one of His own. They've never heard the gospel. But in due season, when He pleases God, when God is pleased, call them out. I'll tell you what's going to happen. If He's pleased to call them out under the preaching of this preacher right here or some other preacher, some other preacher of God's grace and mercy setting forth the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll do so. My sheep will hear My voice. They will follow. But I tell you this, until Almighty God has called all of His people out, this earth is still going to be here. Why did we get up today? Because Almighty God has not finished that which He has purposed to do. Gather them together. You gather. It's what Moses was to do. You take Aaron and his sons and you gather them together. I know this out of Revelation. Almighty God has purposed this earth going to be here till God has His people. Secondly, all God's elect shall be saved. I know that. Brother Paul was reading those verses, and 12,000 from this tribe, and 12,000 from this one, and 12,000, and 12,000, and 12,000, and 12,000. You know what that says? I know it's symbolic. I realize this. Let me tell you what the Lord was saying. There's a specific number. God Almighty, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. God has a people. God Almighty knows. I don't know the number. It's a number that no man can number. I don't know the number. But God knows. And then thirdly, they shall all be saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 of Revelation 7, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Back in Leviticus, the Lord told Moses, take Aaron and his sons with him, garments. Verse 3, gather thou all the congregation together under the door of the tabernacle of the throne. And the Scripture says that Moses, verse 4, did as the Lord commanded him. Obedience is never separated from the blessing of our Lord. But thanks be to God, there was one who obeyed for me when I couldn't. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I need a high priest. An obedient, faithful high priest who is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:29, the Lord said, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Believer, here is your comfort. think about Jeremiah. The Lord told him, comfort ye, my people. Let me tell you what gives comfort to the people of God. My sin has been put away, paid for, by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb Himself has entered in with His own blood. That priest back in the Old Testament would take that blood and he would slay that lamb, that animal, that bull. And he would take that blood and he would go in and take that blood and sprinkle it on that mercy seat. But the blood of bulls and goats will never put away sin. But He who is my high priest, the great high priest, who entered into that tabernacle not made with hands, He entered into that holy place with His own blood, and He ever liveth to make intercession. And Almighty God, for His sake, accepts me. I can't take that in. But by faith, I rejoice in it. I see through a glass darkly. Oh, but in that day, to see Him as He is, to behold Him, the great High Priest, who Almighty God has set forth to intercede for His people. The Scripture says, Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses, verse 5, said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. I think to myself, He didn't leave it to me. He didn't leave it to my will. He didn't leave it to my ability. He provided a high priest. You take Aaron. And you bring him before the door of the tabernacle, Aaron and his sons, and you gather together this congregation. Gather them there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him to do. And he said, this is the thing that God Almighty commanded to be done. This should arrest every man and woman and should bring our ear to hear that which Almighty God has said. This is the thing that the Lord commanded. This is what God commanded. And you can rest assured what Almighty God commanded shall be done. God's word is sure. Isaiah 40 verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let me ask you something. If God has purposed to gather together His great congregation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think it shall be done? This is the thing that the Lord commanded. Concerning salvation of God's elect, 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from this one, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. This is the thing that the Lord commanded to be done. Do you think Almighty God will save His sheep? Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ being glorified in His high priestly prayer in John 17, Father, glorify Thou me with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. Do you think Christ shall be glorified in the redeeming of His sheep? Do you think the Father shall be glorified in having chosen His sheep and gave this bride, His people, to His Son? that in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of His grace might be beheld. Do you think that shall be? This is the thing that God, the Lord, commanded to be done. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. The counsel of the Lord shall stand. When the Father spoke out of heaven and said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ at His baptism, "This is My beloved Son. This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." He told Moses, "I want you to take Aaron, his sons, gather them together before the door of the tabernacle. I want you to bring them, and I want everyone to behold. I want everyone to look upon Aaron, that high priest, and his sons in that glorious picture and type." I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ, before everybody, everything, in that day, He is going to be set forth, the glorious Redeemer, High Priest, and all those in Him. And He shall be magnified. Gather them together. Gather them before the door of the congregation, the tabernacle, and you cause the congregation to look upon Him. And Moses said, "This is the thing that the Lord commanded to be done, and I'm telling you, it shall be to His honor and to His glory and to His praise, and to you that believe for your good."
Turn to hymn number 297 and stand, please. Hymn number 297.